We're talking with Haley Bonner, who is part of our Center Stage Minnesota concert series with the Rife Center this year and will be in Grand Rapids December 15th. Tickets are still available at rifecenter.org, or you can call the box office at 327-5780. Thanks for talking with us, Haley.
Of course. It's a pleasure.
So you've had quite a year. You've performed at NPR Studios for the Tiny Desk concert, done a European tour. You've been making waves throughout the indie music circle all year long and playing for Bernie Sanders, just to name a few. Well, what have been your highlights?
I'm really lucky to say that I have a lot of them, which is not something as a touring musician you can say every year. There are years when you're like, yeah, it was okay. I did the thing. This year, despite it being, in my mind, just kind of an all-around year that I can't wait to be over in a lot of other ways, it's been really amazing. And as a band, we've gotten to experience some pretty incredible things. And my record came out in August, and it's been really well received. So our UK tour, which is awesome, and we're going back in a few months, did the Jules Holland show, and I got to meet the Temptations, and I got to meet Bernie Sanders, and so there's all these other things. It's important for everybody to sort of focus on what is good and tangibly positive right now, so I'm doing that.
You were over in Europe recently, and sounds like you sold out your UK tour. Have you done much touring over there?
All of the shows that we did in the UK that were my headlining shows were sold out, yeah. We were there 2 years ago for the last war tour, mm-hmm. and we did sell out a couple shows there. Before that, I hadn't been over there for, you know, about close to a decade. When I was touring there with Charlie Parr when I was like 21, 20. So it was really great to get back over there and, you know, kind of have the momentum really being that kind of forward motion is important, and I'm very grateful for it.
How are audiences different over in Europe versus in the States?
They are different because there's more of them, first of all, and they are not afraid of singing and vocalizing their support, I guess. It's a really super collared way to say that, but It's different. There's a really like buttoned up feel to a lot of audiences, particularly in the Midwest, and you know that's where I grew up. So I'm not pretending that I'm not part of that, but it is different. You sort of get used to this affectation of like people just kind of watching you and sort of peripherally instead of experiencing it in a way. And I'm not saying everybody's like that, but there are definitely shows where you're like, are you here to enjoy this, or are you here just purely to like wait for me to like mess up? And you're sitting there with your arms folded, and you look like you're bored or you're expecting something, and I'm not really sure what that is. You know, it's like me just being overly sensitive and reading into people's vibe, but. But yeah, they're just not afraid of showing that they like love something. And when we played in London, our show has been sold out for a while, which is awesome. And we played in this room there that was like the ceiling was entirely made of like gold glitter, like one of my favorite things in the world. So I like walked in there and I was like, this is going to be good. And everyone was like singing along, and it was so, so magic. I can't compare really, but I can say what I know. Overseas, they're a little like less afraid to show their emotions about things in general. They're very like communicative, which is, I think we can all take a lesson in that in mm-hmm. some way.
Impossible Dream is your album that was out this year, and that's garnered some really great attention over the year and over these past 6 months especially. This one and Last War have probably been the ones that have kind of put you on a national trajectory as far as just attention and acclaim. How was this one and the release of Impossible Dream different from previous albums?
For my first four records did not have, they had distribution, but it was very minimal on really small labels. And I'm still on an indie label, both here and in Europe and the UK, but my label just didn't really have the proper means to get it out the way that it should. And I think that now it's a little bit easier to do that. And people have kind of like that are in the indie label business have sort of learned to make the internet your friend and exactly, you know, figured out how to make that work for you rather than against you, as opposed to, you know, eight or 10 years ago, which makes me feel really old to say that, but it's true. I think that, again, like going back to communication, like it's so much more advanced. It's our detriment as much as it is to our advantage, especially in the creative world. And also, I do think that Blast War really did strike a chord with people, particularly in the UK and in Europe, because they seem to like really dark music over there. It's more poppy than it is here. The BBC support was just immediately really responsive and so supportive. I think that kind of opened up the doors and, you know, gave Impossible Dream more of a platform in both countries and in both areas, I should say. And it's been really an incredible thing to watch that. And part of me is like, it's about time. And another part of me is like, I'm really grateful for that it's taken this much time.
I often read or hear critics talking about how Last War, the 2014 release, was the mark in change of sound for you, kind of from indie singer-songwriter to more indie rock. But I also noticed a lot of changes in sound in your 2011 release, Golder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think, too. I mean, I literally say that every time somebody says, oh, what happened between 2011 and Last War? And they really want to, like, they really want a story with that, and they really want to, like, bring my kid into that because I did have a baby in between those records, and I really hate that because, no, it's not like that at all to me. I mean, I look at, yeah, I'm like, yeah, having a family changes your life as much as it does somebody sitting behind a bank teller. You are going to be affected by that, but it's just annoying to me that I have to, like, consistently explain that to people. And I do think that my sound, quote unquote, has been developing, and that's what it should be doing. As an artist, you should always be questioning yourself and trying to move forward. What moves you forward, and figuring that out. And yeah, so I don't necessarily see this like big gap between these albums. I see it as steps. Kind of walking up on them, figuring out how to build them as they go along. And yeah, I definitely hear that Golder was just like full of foreshadowing to me for Last War and this record too, you know. And I actually feel like this record is more like Golder than Last War, so who knows, it's all part of one big old project, really.
So you said something in there that I can kind of already guess what the answer is, but being a female in the music industry, I mean, do you think men are asked that question a lot if they have a child?
They're not, and that's a fact. And I'm really trying to not really like solve that, but I'm trying to bring that awareness to journalists, because I don't think that they're aware that the implications of that are sort of sexist, and I don't think people know that, and I really don't believe that there's like ill intention with that question. But I do think it's important to acknowledge, like, hey, you know what, like, why are you asking me that? Let's actually examine that. Do you ask people that are not women that question? And oftentimes people are like, no, I don't actually. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, it's not something that I don't want to talk about. I love my daughter, and I love motherhood in that way, but it's a personal question. It's really tricky, and some people want to talk about their personal lives and, like, blur the lines between their life and their professional life and their writing and whatever, and I'm not one of those people. I want my words and my work to stand aside, and I am not a super social person, and I don't want to share my privacy with everybody. That's just not who I am. it's interesting that that question has come up since last war. To go into another aspect of that is people are assuming that I'm writing about my life, that every song is like this journal entry that I'm putting to chords, and it's very difficult to explain that, like, this is writing just like anything else, but also to try to, like, keep my dignity and my privacy separate from what I'm doing as an artist, because obviously those things are inspired by my life to write about certain things. But it is interesting, and I do think that is something that women are asked more about. Does this have to do with your personal life? And did you write this song because you experienced this? And how does motherhood affect your sound and your songwriting? That's something that I'm asked almost every single time I'm interviewed. Questioning that is good, and it's good for me, too.